lieutenant!
No, no, pray don't tell me. No clues, my dear young man. Let us see if this poor, befuddled old brain of mine can string together a fact or two and deduce from it. Now, what did the dog do in the night? Nothing. Precisely.
What's a dog got to do with who I am, Doc?
One day, as we travel through this Vale of Tears, this Valley of Darkness, this land that once was Avalon, I shall explain all. Now, you have a determined chin, black curling hair, blue eyes that speak of courage, broad shoulders and a deep chest, a knife on your hip that tells me that you are a person not unacquainted with the lists of combat.
Doc, why not just...
I am nearly there. A boy who is the son of his father. And there I see the man who is undoubtedly the father to that son. You are the son of Ryan Cawdor, and your name is Dean.
You're right. You remembered.
Doc patted Dean on the head.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. We are together again, my friends. Doc Tanner is himself once more.
Fine. Now let's get that pitching sector open again.
Carter's clear.
The others joined JB, finding themselves in a wide, curving passage with an arched roof. It was about 20 feet across, and the ceiling was about 15 feet at its highest. There was concealed strip lighting that cast a steady glow on the dusty floor. Ryan noticed several SEC cameras dotted along the roof, but none seemed to be activated. To their left, the corridor terminated in a blank wall of solid rock. They couldn't see much because of the long bend, but there were no side doorways or passages in sight. Ryan looked at Christy.
Feel anything, lover? Apart from hot and wet?
Certainly warmer than New York was. Considering this is recirculated air, it must be rad blast hot outside. But no, I don't feel anyone around here.
The control area looked like it had been cleared out carefully.
Right. Seemed to have been a planned withdrawal.
What is this? We still in the Ville?
No. Feels like we're a long ways off, but you never can tell. Believe half of what you see, son, and nothing of what you hear. Okay, skirmish line. Me first this time. Then Christy, Dean, Doc, Mildred, and JB last.
For a second, he thought his son was going to argue with him, but Doc stepped in quickly, putting his arm on the boy's shoulders. They set off, and in less than 2 minutes, they found themselves facing a huge pair of sec doors. Painted a bilious shade of pale green, they stretched from floor to ceiling. At the side was a small control panel of letters and numbers.
This is it.
Ryan looked behind them. There'd been no other options. The way out was either back through the gateway or past these vanadium steel doors.
Try the usual code. Worked before.
352.
Right.
Ryan keyed in the numbers while the rest of them spread out, blasters ready. For several stretched heartbeats, there was simply a great stillness.
There you go.
Weights and counterweights moved into grudging life, and the doors began to slide upward. Dean had thrown himself down on his stomach so that he could be the first to peer out beyond the ponderous wall of sex steel.
Nobody there!
Get back, son. Keep out of our fire line.
Can I have a blaster, huh?
Maybe. Now keep your lips shut tight and your eyes wide open.
Beyond, an identical passage carried on. The walls painted a matte magnolia color. Ryan saw immediately that the sec vids were working. A tiny ruby eye glowed beneath each of them, and they moved slowly from side to side, like the heads of world-weary eels. JB had also seen them.
Could be on auto. Triggered by body heat, movement, sound, anything.
Maybe I should give them a wave and a smile. Show them we're friendly. What do you think, John?
JB shook his head.
Chances are that there's nobody watching their screens, Mildred. Probably hasn't been anyone there for 100 years.
Shouldn't you shoot them out? Stop them spying.
Fire blast. I've never known anyone to ask so many damn questions. I wonder how you managed to live to be 10 years old.
Sorry. Just that there never seemed to be enough answers to go around, so I asked more questions.
It's all right, Dean. But learn to pick the right moment for the right question. Now let's move on.
Once again, the passage came quickly to a dead end. They retraced their steps past the opening that led toward the gateway. Ryan paused by the familiar sign, Entry is absolutely forbidden to all except personnel cleared to level B-14 or higher.
Might be worth closing the doors again, just in case anyone wanders down here.
The reverse number code of 253 sent the heavy door sliding remorselessly down, settling into place. Punching in the digits made Ryan wonder for a passing moment about the crumpled piece of paper he'd shoved into his pocket. But a call from Dean made him forget about it again.
Stairs and an elevator here! Should I press the call button?
Christy saw the expression on Ryan's face, and she quickly put a warning hand on his arm.
Slowly, Ryan.
But he's...
You were 10 once.
Yeah, and I knew the value of checking the safety before squeezing the trigger. The boy's gotta learn silence, babe.
He will.
Outside, Dean was waiting patiently for them, finger hovering over the recessed black button by the door of the elevator. Ryan remembered the problems in New York and waved a hand.
No. If there's stairs, we take them. Not so much risk of getting trapped.
Christy wiped sweat from her forehead.
Gaia, but it's sticky in here. This air feels like it's been going around and around and getting wetter and hotter all the time.
I'm beginning to have some passing appreciation of what it must be like to spend one's life as a hothouse orchid.
We going up?
Dean craned his neck so that he could see to the top of the wide spiral staircase.
Not too far!
Ryan joined his son, looking more cautiously up the steps. There was a flat landing area about 50 feet above them, with what looked like another door beyond it.
I'll go first. The rest of you stay down here until I've cleared the way.
The blaster in his right hand, Ryan began to pick his way carefully up the steps. Occasionally it came to him how odd it was that he might be the first human being to tread this way for the best part of 100 years. The last set of feet probably belonged to a senior SEC officer, making a final check that the complex had been properly cleared in those terrifying final days before the skies grew dark and Nuke Black Knight came to the United States. Around the door he saw a wide wooden frame, but the damp had ravaged it, leaving it soft and covered in a fibrous brown mold. The door itself was made of steel, but it hung loose on its hinges. Ryan pushed at it, and it slumped open at his touch.
Come on up! Looks like an abandoned redoubt.
A couple of hours later, they were sitting around a folding table, the remains of their meal scattered across the top.
I never seen any place like this. Like this redoubt. Rona told me about them, but she said she'd never actually seen one herself. I never met anyone who had. Plenty of big-lip liars pretended.
Always find people eager to pretend, Dean. Make them seem more important. We don't know how many of these redoubts there are in Deathlands. All we know is that they were built in the very end of the 1990s and mostly hidden. A part of what they called the totality concept.
What was that?
It was a war plan. Like most war plans, it never worked. The nukes won.
Any more of that juice sub?
The boy licked his lips.
Real good. Hey, why can't we live here forever? Nobody can get in, and there's food and blasters.
Maybe we could, but there's more to life than hiding in a safe cave. We just stock up here on fresh clothes and what we need, then we move on.
Christy looked across at Ryan.
I sometimes think that I'll be always moving on.
Compared to some of the huge labyrinths that they'd found in the past, this redoubt was relatively compact. There was sleeping accommodation for only 50 people in 4 dormitories, a central dining area and kitchens, a dozen identically empty cubes that must have been administration offices, some sealed storage areas holding food, clothes, and some weaponry. It was odd. The place looked as if it had been partly evacuated. Some of it was totally stripped, but sheets and blankets had been left on the bunks, all of which had rotted away in the moist air. There were no personal effects left anywhere. Yet the warehousing facilities were amazingly well-stocked. Predictably, the boy had wanted to go explore this treasure trove from the past, but Ryan had insisted that they take the usual precautions.
First, we check out the complex and make sure it's secure. That means we're going to be secure, Dean. Next comes food, then we explore.
It hadn't taken them long to go through the redoubt, finding that there appeared to be only one exit. That was a surprisingly small sec door tucked away in a corner beyond the sleeping quarters. There was a SecVid unit that had been built to show a view of the world outside. But when Ryan tried the controls, it was locked onto a mass of thick foliage. A solid wedge of green filled the screen, barely moving, making it absolutely impossible to work out where in the world they might be.
Hawaii?
Don't think so small, my dear woman.
Don't dear woman me, you sententious old fart. Why not Hawaii?
I would have.